This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
We give you praise, Jesus, for it is all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. We glorify your majesty. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We give you praise. We worship and we adore you. For it is in Jesus' name we have prayed. If you will turn with me this morning to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. We're going to stand and we're going to read the word of the Lord together this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Ready? Go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you because you are God indeed. There is none like you. You are the perfect God. You are the God that does not make mistakes. We glorify your majesty. We thank you because your word is yea and it is amen. You hold your word above your name, for your word is life, and your word is Jesus. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Father, I just want to thank you for your Word this morning, because it is your Word that will transform our destiny for the better. We give you praise, Jehovah. We worship you and we adore you. Father, as we look into your word, even today, we pray that you will allow us to soak it in and that it will minister to our spirit and it will be life to everything that may be dead. We give you glory and we give you praise, for it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. You may be seated in the heavenlies this morning. I want to welcome you to church. Once again, I thank God for your life, and I thank God that we can come together as believers to look into the word of life. Amen. Our theme for last month was the fullness of the glory of God. Amen. The fullness of the glory of God. And so we looked at different things and we said certain things and we looked at scriptures like Ephesians chapter number 3 verse 19. Ephesians chapter number 3 verse 19 that says, and to know the love of Christ, which path knowledge, that ye might be filled with all. Somebody say all. Will be filled, that might be filled with all the fullness of his glory. Praise the Lord. And so I was looking at this and I was like, wow, this is awesome that we did this last month. And we talked about different things. And some of the things that stood out to me is some of the things that we mentioned, that when we talk about the glory of God is no longer a place to be in the glory of God. We no longer have to go to a place to experience the glory of God like they did in the days of Moses. We realize that in the time of Moses, the Bible says that Moses went to the mountain. He went to Mount Sinai and other mountains to meet with the presence of God. And we realize that now that we are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus has already died for our sins and has broken that division or whatever have you, that block or that thing that was in the middle that distinguished or separates us from the love of God or the relationship that we should have had with God, Jesus Christ already took care of it. And so we looked at that Ephesians chapter 3. We said that we might be filled with the glory of God. So the glory is no longer a place that we go to because of the gift of Christ. The glory is now on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And so if you understand that you are walking in God's glory, you will know how to act because the glory is on the inside of you. I remember one of our pastors preached, and maybe that's why. Some of these things I wonder sometimes, why did it minister to me so much? Maybe God was taking me on a journey and was allowing me to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. The man of God several years ago ministered from the Old Testament, and he said, when you are anywhere, you should ask yourself, am I carrying the Ark of the Covenant? Because in those days, it was something that they carried. And if you act up, we know that there was a story that when a man was trying to grab the ark, they died. And so he said to us, you should ask yourself, in whatever situation you're in or whatever decision you're going to make, ask yourself, am I carrying the Ark of the Covenant? But now in this day, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, because of the gift that he gave on Calvary, we no longer have to carry the Ark. We don't have to carry the glory. The glory is on the inside of us. Do I hear an amen in the house? We mentioned so many things last month, and this month we said that we should arise, shine, for our light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And we said that the glory is not something that is just risen upon us. In those days, we mentioned that the glory, it rises upon them and then it goes. The glory rise upon them and then it goes. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, the glory no longer departs. The glory is on the inside of us. And so I realized that, wow, God is trying to let us understand something about this scripture. And so I realized that the epistle that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote this letter that we read, our scripture that we read at the very beginning. I said, let us read first the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And this, I realized that Paul was writing to Ephesus, and this were a group of believers who were rich beyond measure in Christ. They were rich beyond measure in Christ, yet living as beggars. And the only reason why anyone will live when you have wealth and you're still living as beggars is because of lack of knowledge. It's not that you don't have it. What the problem is you do not realize, or you have not come to the realization that you already have it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, I'm going somewhere. She's going somewhere with this. When I looked at that scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all. Somebody say all. You see, for me as an individual, that word all stands out to me because I'm a type of person, I'm an absolute type person. It's my personality. It's the way I'm made. And so because I have an appreciation for that, I realize that, why is it that every time I see the word all, it means something to me? Or when I see the word none, it means something to me. And I realize it's because I'm absolute. Like I said, it's either I am all in or I am all out. it's difficult for someone like me to be in the middle. I don't know how. It's either I'm completely in or I'm completely out. It's either I'm completely eating or I'm completely not eating. I don't know how to be in the middle. So for someone like me with my kind of personality, I can understand something like all. Because I realize all is not a partial thing. It is 100%. All is all. All is not 50. All is not some. All is not partial. All truly is all in all. And so this scripture, just like the last one that we talked about last month in chapter 3, it says the fullness of God. It's on the inside of me. Wow. I started looking at myself different. I started looking at the children of God that Jesus died for. I started looking at them different. And now this scripture is also telling me that he had blessed us. Who is the us? Those that are in Christ Jesus. Those that have made a decision that this gift, this man named Jesus that came from heaven and was crucified and died and was placed on the cross, died, was buried and resurrected and ascended to heaven. I want him to be invited into my life to be my Lord and Savior. And so once that happens, it's telling me because this letter is being written or was written to Christians that are in a church to tell them who they are and how to be. Somebody say who they are and how to be. In order for us to know how to be, we must know who we are. And in order for us to know who we are, we must know who is Christ. Somebody say amen. So it says, blessed be, he's starting the letter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all, somebody say all again, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If I be in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is new in me now is that I am filled with all spiritual blessing. Somebody say to your neighbor, I already have it. Say to your neighbor, are you in Christ? Tell them, if you're not in Christ, she ain't talking to you. It says that if I be in Christ, all things have passed away. What is in me now? The old me was death. I mean, anything can happen. It was a chance. I could go outside and get hit by a car. Anything could happen to those that are not in Christ. But when you step into Christ, hallelujah, the Bible says that you are blessed. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Say to your neighbor, are you in Christ? I looked at this and I was like, Lord, this is interesting that everything that I am believing you for, that I keep asking you for, you have already given it to me. And so I realized that if you are not in knowledge of something, then you can't benefit from it, can it? Please pull up my story. Very quickly, pull up my story. I want to share a story with you this morning to drive home my point. Amen. My story. You gonna pull it up? Praise God. I want us to continue. Let me know. I'm going to continue reading the Bible. Let me know when they pull it up. Praise the Lord. And I looked at verse 15. Verse 15, I was like, well, if we already have things, then why do we need to pray if we already have it? So the issue is that we don't pray. The issue is that we do not pray. The issue is, are we praying right? The issue is, are we asking amiss? Are we asking for something that we already have? And so this morning, I want to reintroduce to you the proper way to pray as a Christian. We cannot ask or be like unbelievers because the Bible tells us who we are and and what we have. Are you going to pull it up today? Praise God. And so the question is, how do we pray in Christ Jesus? Say to your neighbor, how do we pray in Christ? When the Bible tells us that we already, that all the spiritual blessings he has blessed us, we as Christians, we are already blessed. Somebody say we're blessed.
We are blessed.
Not just blessed, but blessed with all. Oh my God, I love the word. Is there any absolute people like me? Is there people like me that you can't fast 6 to 6? It's a joke. You have to fast dry because mashata kaya baba sata. Give me 5. When I'm going to fast, I'm not the type of person that can fast 6 to 6. I'm joking myself. I'll participate. But if I'm really serious with God, I'm not the type of person 6 to 6. It's either I'm eating or I'm not eating. If I really want to seek the face of God, I go dry. I go raw because I am an absolute person. So when I see words like, oh, it arouses my attention. I want to show to you, how is it that some people, they have something, but because of knowledge, they do not benefit from that thing as much as possible? I don't think it's going to be any bigger than this. It says, a young man was graduating from college. He had been admiring a specific sports car for a long time. His father is a very rich man. So the young man asked his father for the car for his graduation gift. As graduation day approached, the young man awaited signs that his father had purchased the car. Finally, on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his office and told him how proud he felt about him. Then he handed his son a beautiful wrapped gift box. Curious, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible. Angrily, he raised his voice at his father and said, "With all the money you have, you give me a Bible?" And stormed out of the house, leaving the holy book. Many years passed. The young man became very successful in business. He had a beautiful home and a wonderful family. One day, he suddenly thought of his father. He thought that perhaps he should go visit him since he had not seen him since that graduation day. Just when he was making the arrangements, he got a phone call telling his father had just passed and willed all of his possession to his son. He needed to go home. When he arrived at his father's house, suddenly sadness filled his heart. He began to search for his father's important papers and saw the still new Bible, his college graduation gift, just as he had left it years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages as he read those words: car keys dropped from the envelope, taped inside the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, that same dealer who had the sports car he had desired. On the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, "Paid in full." Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He has paid in full to make you and I wholesome in body, in soul, and in spirit. The key for all that you have been looking for is in the Bible. I am here to declare to you that as Christians, we need to change our prayer. We need to stop asking for what we already have, but to learn how to receive it. So I'm not saying that because we already have it, we're not going to pray for it, or we're not going to pray, rather, but we need to pray by receiving what God has already made available to us. Very quickly, I want us to look at the verse 15 of the same chapter of Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15 says, now this is an example of how to pray, either for yourself as a believer or how to pray for believers. Paul is now praying for the people of Ephesus. He says, wherefore, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard, listen to that. It says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. That means now I understand that you're no longer of the world. If you are of the world, my prayer for you will be different. But now it says, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks. Somebody say, give thanks. When Pastor B.E. was up, he said that the prayer, the way God lives and all of these wonderful things is in praise. Amen? And so praise, thanksgiving, all those things. We need to thank God for what he has already done. It's becoming frustrating for me now that I understand and I have understanding. It's frustrating for me to see believers praying for what Jesus already did. You're asking him to do something he already did. He did it and he handled it 2,000 years ago. Stop asking. Oh, you're crying and you're hitting your head on a stone and you already have it. All you need to do is stand and say, I receive my home in the name of Jesus. For I know that the Lord has already blessed me with it. And you begin to say words and say, Lord, I thank you for it. And you keep thanking God until the manifestation comes in your hands. Do I hear an amen in the house today? Stop asking for something that you already have, but thank God for it. But a pastor told us that whatever we thank God for gets better. Whatever we thank God for gets better. You have to come out of the realization that he still needs to do it to the realization that he has already done it. Let me thank him for what he has done. And when God sees you that you're thanking him, he's going to be like, speed, speed, speed. Manifestation. Thanking him. This is exactly what Paul is doing to these people here. He says that cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Then verse 17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because if you have knowledge of Christ, if you know what he's done, our focus and our purpose and what we should be doing is seeking to see what are the things that Christ has already done for me. We just say he died on Calvary. Do you know what Calvary? Do you know the price of Calvary? Do you know the things that you can draw out of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's not just, oh, he died on Calvary, let's finish, closed. There is so much that he took to that cross. There is so much power and victory that he gave you when he resurrected from the dead. He is the only somebody that I know, the only prophet that I know, the only Messiah that can die and then resurrect again. Praise God. We need to move from asking about things that we should see in the word that he has already provided, and so move into the dimension of thanking him for it and receiving it. Just because cancer visits your home, it doesn't mean that you don't have your healing. I want to say that again. Just because disease come to your household does not mean, first of all, that you accept it. As a child of the living God, you learn to reject what is not yours. Look in the word of God. Does this, whatever situation that is happening in my life, does it line up with scripture? No, then it is not mine. That's number one. Then number two is, once you realize that there's a situation, you're going to claim your healing. You don't ask God to heal you, because he healed you 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that he was wounded for your transgression.
It's not about what it looks like. It's about what you know. It's not about the facts that you receive. It's about the truth. And the truth is, you are healed. We need to walk like it. We can't walk like what it looks like as believers. What is the difference? What example are we setting for unbelievers? What example as we as believers, how do we pray the same prayer as unbelievers? Unbelievers can pray for healing and then their healing is going to come through salvation. But we are saved. We are in Christ Jesus. We have it. And so what we do is we say, Lord, I thank you for my healing. I receive my healing. I refuse to do any other thing but to receive my healing. And you keep receiving it, and you receive it on a daily basis, and you look at the scriptures, and you keep on until you see the manifestation. I'm here to tell you this morning, the fact that you went from A to B right now does not mean that that A to B happened right there and then when you prayed. That A to B happened when he already did it. It is for you to receive and walk in the manifestation of your answers. My eyes has completely changed. And so, verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That's what we're doing here. And that's what we need to be doing in church, is to show what Christ has done. We're so focused on other things, but we need to focus on what are we here for again? I remember I was watching this movie when my children were still very small. It's called Chicken Little. Chicken Little, when something is happening, all of a sudden what are we talking about? What are we talking about here? Why are we here? Why are we gathered? We are gathered to understand Christ Jesus. We are gathered here to understand what he did. We are here to understand what we can receive and thank him for from what he already did on Calvary. We need to understand more. What did this Jesus that we're talking about, what are the things that he did? As believers, our eyes, verse 18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, are you pulling it up? That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. That's our purpose as Christians, to know what is the hope of his calling. Say to your neighbor again, it's all about Jesus. To know the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And verse 22 says, and hath put all things, somebody say all things, and hath put all things, there's that word all again, under his feet, all things. It's under his feet. Stop asking for it. You already have it. Claim it and thank him for it until you see the manifestation of his glory, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want you to stand with me. And we're going to look at one more scripture. We're going to read it together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. We're going to read that together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, go. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Say it again. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Stop there. Look. It's wonderful because we are going to heaven. Praise God. I ain't going to hell for nobody. Ain't nobody that can make me go to hell. But we need to also understand that we have victory right now. Our victory, you know, is like no more, you know, in heaven, there's going to be no more pain, no more disease. Hey, brother, there should be no more disease in our bodies now. We should live a victorious life now because it says that we will go in, let's start again. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. In which world? When we get to heaven? Heaven is going to be glorious, but we have the victory now. We have, as Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, we are in him and he is in us. So therefore, sir, as he is there, so are we now in this world. Hallelujah. Is there any more? Is that the end of the scripture? Praise God. We're going to say right now, changing our prayer. We're getting ready to go into fasting and praying. I don't want us to go backward and ask for what we already have, but understand how to change our language and say, Lord, for whatever it is I receive, let's say it's high blood pressure. I'm not going to be praying for God to heal me of high blood pressure, because his blood is powerful and it's potent. He already did it. It is for me and left to me to receive my healing. By faith, receive my healing. So when I'm praying in these 7 days, and let's say it's high blood pressure, I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, that died on Calvary, I thank you and I receive my healing. I thank you that you healed me. People think, oh, so you're saying that, oh, so now all the prayer that we pray, we're not going to be able to do any of that gymnastics anymore. You want to take our gymnastics from us. You want to be, blah, 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 blah. If that's what you want to do gymnastics, you can go and do gymnastics. But we need to pray with understanding. And so now, instead of all the gymnastics and all the, oh, Lord, you will do it. Oh, Lord, you will do it. Oh, Lord, you have done it. Oh, Lord, you have done it. Oh, Lord, you have done it. Oh, Lord, you are. And you begin to, let me tell you, I had problems with my legs. I'm not just speaking out of, I'm just saying it because I've never been sick. I was almost, my leg was already completely messed up because I feel like I had those small fracture. And I just kept on saying, what in the world? I'm supposed to preach the gospel. Beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. And I will not preach it on flats. I'm going to preach it with my heels, because I am a bad mama jama and I'm a bad babe for Jesus. And so I was walking. I said, oh Lord, you have healed me. Oh Lord, you have healed me. Oh Lord, you have healed me. My mama may not be a preacher, but my mama is over 80 and she's still in her heels. Hallelujah. My mother still wears high heel. So who am I that the Bible says beautiful on my feet because I preach the gospel? I'm not asking God to heal me because I have an understanding with my Father that he's already healed me. So all I had to do was receive. Ooh. I want you to lift up your hands and say, Lord Jesus, every blessing that you have given to me on Calvary, that you won for me through death, I receive it now. I'm starting to receive it. From this day, I will receive it. I will no longer insult your intelligence and insult the sacrifice that you made for me by asking you for something you already gave me. But I will receive it. I claim it. I receive it. All of my blessings in heavenly places, I tap into it. I receive it. I download it. Yes, you can download it. Just like you download the stuff from internet. Download your blessing from the heavenlies. I download it. I receive it. I walk in my breakthrough. I walk in my healing. I walk in your power. Because you have already done it. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, oh God, that you have allowed our enlightenment to be in you, that we may have understanding understanding. I can imagine how you feel, oh Lord, that we're just looking at us. What I've already done for them, they keep still, they're struggling, they're in anguish. They do not understand that they have the victory. Lord, right now, we thank you for that victory that you won for us. We thank you for it. We rejoice in it. We celebrate in it. And we receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say hallelujah.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.